Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this episode of the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch Football History Headlines, we discuss November 28th football history with Ernie Nevers' big Thanksgiving Day game and a controversial Yale versus Princeton tilt, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories. We thank Chris Lawton for his contributions to the Grey Cup games in today's edition of the Football History Headlines, and more coming up in a second.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we have some great football history headlines for November 28th to share with you today, including some more Grey Cup action by Chris Lawton of 99yards.com. But before we get to the Grey Cups, let's talk about some college and NFL action. And we'll start off with November 28th, 1884 in New York City, the Yale versus Princeton game. The great historian Park H. Davis, in his book Football, the Intercollegiate Game, shed some light onto this contest. The Yale-Princeton game was scheduled to play in that afternoon in New York as a precursor and entertainment spectacle for the Intercollegiate Rules Convention that would meet later that evening in the Big Apple. It sounded fair enough on having an official pick from each team and then a referee to settle any disputes that may otherwise occur, but the reality makes it about as clear as mud. After many arguments between the opposing officials and the game being ended early on account of darkness with Yale up 6-4, it was a real mess for referee Mr. Appleton. The rule stated that if the game ended prematurely, that it was to go down as a 0-0 no game. This game controversy, of course, entered into and dominated discussions at the Rules Committee at the Fifth Avenue Hotel in New York until late into the night. The outcome was to sustain the ref's decision of no game, and we had a 0-0 tie in the Yale versus Princeton game, 1884. November 28, 1929, at Comiskey Park in Chicago. According to a story on the website GoldenRankings.com, Ernie Nevers of the Chicago Cardinals became the first professional player to score 6 touchdowns in a single game. The story goes that it was Thanksgiving Day, and it was for the title of the Chicago City Championship, as the Cardinals played their crosstown rivals, the Bears. Snow was falling in the Windy City that day, but still 8,000 fans went to cheer their teams on at the field. Due to the sloppy conditions, the Cardinals abandoned their double-wing offense and instead decided to continually run Nevers right up the gut of the Bears' defense. The strategy couldn't have worked any better, as Nevers scored all of the Cardinal points, including the extra points, in the 40-6 drubbing of the Monsters of the Midway. The defense of the Redbirds did an amazing job of holding the Bears to only 6 points, and when they had the backfield of Joey Sterneman, Patty Driscoll, and Red Grange on that day. November 28, 1938, the fourth Heisman Trophy was awarded to quarterback Davey O'Brien of Texas Christian University. Some highlights of that season of O'Brien had in 1938 come from information found on Heisman.com. The shifty quarterback was the first Heisman winner not only from TCU, but from the Southwest Conference. His 1,509 passing yards and 19 touchdowns were complemented by an extra 462 yards gained on the ground, along with 6 interceptions he had on the defensive side of the ball. What a 1938 season Mr. O'Brien truly had. November 28, 1953, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto, the 41st Grey Cup for the CFL Championship was played. In the contest, it was the Hamilton Tiger Cats defeating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 12-6 in a thriller. Chris Lawton, who again guest blogged on PigskinDispatch.com for this day and these Grey Cup games, tells us that with the score of 12-6 in favor of the Hamilton Tiger Cats and time running out in the fourth quarter, Winnipeg quarterback Jack Jacobs had led the Blue Bombers on a 92-yard drive. A pass to receiver Tom Casey at the goal line was stopped as a Hamilton defender hit Casey as the ball arrived. It was neither a perfectly timed hit or pass interference, and the refs called the former. Hamilton walked away with the win in Winnipeg, and their fans left frustrated. November 28, 1953 at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama. The 18th version of the old Iron Bowl was one you had to hang on to the edge of your seat for. Alabama beats Auburn 10-7 in Birmingham. A great story on 247sports.com will fill you in with all the details, but in an abridged headline version, we can tell you that the game came down to the final drive. Crimson Tide quarterback Bart Starr tossed a crucial pass to Bill Oliver to help get Alabama into field goal range and to win the game. November 28, 1955, it was the NFL Draft. Yes, back in this era, the prospects for the NFL were not afforded combines, pro days, bowl games, and all-star games to show off their talents. Their merit was strictly from their performance on the gridiron. The NFL held their annual draft just after the college season was ending because they had other stiff competition for talent from rival pro leagues in those days. The 1956 NFL draft had Gary Glick from the University of Colorado A&M being taken as the first player by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now it's time to go to guest writer Chris Lawton at CFL editor for 99yards.com as he tells us about the 1959 Grey Cup, the rematch that brings the same result. It was on a muddy field at CNE Stadium in Toronto, as 33,133 fans were on hand to see the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Hamilton Tiger Cats face off for the third time in 3 years. Both teams had won each, and the Winnipeg was the defending championship from the year before. Hamilton missed a couple of TD chances in the game, and after the Bombers held onto a 3-1 halftime lead, the Tiger Cats hit on two field goals from Steve Osenchuk for a 7-4 lead. Winnipeg hit on a single before getting a break early in the fourth quarter. Hamilton's Gary McDougall lost the ball at the Hamilton 43, and after a hit by Roger Savoy, Winnipeg's Bud Tinsley recovered in two plays later. The Bombers scored a touchdown. Hamilton was unable to move into the wind, and Shepard scored three singles on a wind-assisted punts. Winnipeg diced the game with a last-second touchdown following turnovers on downs and walked away with a 21-7 win to claim the rubber match between the two teams. November 28, 1959, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama. At the 24th Iron Bowl, it was Alabama blanking Auburn 10-0, breaking a streak of five consecutive wins by the Tiger in head-to-head matchups. November 28, 1964, at CNE Stadium in Toronto. It was the Grey Cup. The BC Lions defeated the Hamilton Tiger Cats 34-24. BC's Bill Muncie scored two touchdowns in the third quarter, one on the offensive side and the other on defense. You can catch all the details on Chris Lawton's article on pigskindispatch.com. November 28, 1964. It was the 1965 NFL draft that took place that November, as Tucker Frederickson from Auburn University was the first pick by the New York Giants in the draft. That same day, November 28, 1964, Notre Dame lost to USC 20-17 on a last-second pass play. The loss crushed Notre Dame's hopes for a national championship season, and that information comes from IrishLegends.com. November 28, 1967, the 33rd Heisman Trophy Award goes to UCLA quarterback Gary Beben. Heisman.com shares that though Beben lost a heart-wrenching game to USC by the tune of 21-20, the Bruins signal caller got the Heisman nod over USC rusher O.J. Simpson due to his dual-threat ability. Gary Beben tossed eight touchdowns on 1,359 yards passing, but he also ran an additional 227 yards on 11 more scores. November 27, 1970, at the Los Angeles Coliseum, Fighting Irish quarterback Joe Theismann throws for a whopping 526 yards against USC in a driving rainstorm. The Trojans were too much, though, as the final score was Southern Cal 38, Notre Dame 28. That information also comes from IrishLegends.com. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of pro football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written 3 books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my 4th. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, and my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Past when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
Now here's another Chris Lawton report. The 1970 Grey Cup played on November 28th of that year, the Battle of the Third Place Finishers. The 58th Grey Cup was played on a terrible field conditions between 2 teams that had finished 3rd in their respective divisions, the Calgary Stampeders and the Montreal Alouettes. In front of a crowd of over 32,000 fans at CNE Stadium in Toronto, quarterback Sonny Wade led the Alouettes to a 23-10 victory. You can read much more about it on their website, 99yards.com, which we have a link on our website to get that from pigskindispatch.com. November 28, 1970, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, the Tide jumped out to an early 17-0 lead, but Tigers quarterback Pat Sullivan and wide receiver Terry Beasley and company were not done yet. 247sports.com tells the tale of how the Auburn Tigers came from behind to get past Alabama's Crimson Tide in a 33-28 thrilling second half victory. Now we've got a couple more pieces from Chris Lawton on the Grey Cups. First, we'll talk about November 28, 1971, the Grey Cup, that the ground can't cause a fumble. The 59th Grey Cup was played out in front of over 34,000 people at the Empire Stadium in Vancouver. They would see the Calgary win their first title since 1948, 14-11 on the scoreboard. Playing on the tartan turf, it was the first Grey Cup to be played on the artificial turf. The Argos had not appeared in the Grey Cup since 1952, but went into this game as favorites despite the Stamps making their 3rd championship game appearance in 4 years. Calgary scored on all their points in the first half to take a 14-3 lead. Toronto got it back, recovering a fumbled punt return for a touchdown, but the key play involved star running back Leon McQuay. At the Stamps' 11-yard line, quarterback Joe Theismann handed the ball to McQuarrie, who slipped on the wet field and fumbled the ball, which Calgary recovered. McQuay dropped the ball when his elbow hit the ground, and he had not been contacted by a Stampeder defender, bringing up the argument that ground can't cause a fumble. Next, Mr. Lawton, the CFL editor of the 99yards.com, writes about the 1976 Grey Cup that was played on November 28th that year, and it's titled The Ryder Bowl Goes to the Red Riders with the Catch. The 64th Grey Cup saw then a record of 53,467 fans on hand to see the Ottawa Rough Riders defeat the Saskatchewan Rough Riders 23-20 in a classic at the Exhibition Stadium in Toronto. This was the last Grey Cup championship for the Ottawa Rough Riders. The team folded later in 1996, and the last major sports championship of any kind for Ottawa until the Red Blacks won the Grey Cup 40 years later in 2016. One thing that stood out in this game was that every point was scored by a Canadian player. The game went back and forth and was settled by the catch with 20 seconds remaining. With 20 seconds left and stationed at the Saskatchewan 24-yard line, Ottawa threw for the end zone. Tony Gabriel slipped behind the Saskatchewan secondary and reeled in quarterback Tom Clements' throw in the back of the end zone for the win. November 28, 1978, Billy Sims, Oklahoma's talented running back, won the 44th Heisman Award. The Heisman's official website informs us that Sims led the nation in rushing in just his junior season with the Big 8 conference record of 1,762 yards on the ground. Billy went over 200 yards in 4 of that season's contests, and his 20 touchdowns and 7.0 yards per carry were numbers extremely impressive to the Heisman voters. November 28, 1981, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, the Crimson Tide defeated Auburn 28-17 in the 46th Iron Bowl. The victory gave Alabama's Bear Bryant his 315th win, which surpassed Amos Alonzo Stagg's record to become college football's coach with the most victories. We're going to end our football history headlines with 4 abridged versions of CFL Grey Cup games, but the detailed versions are on our website, pigskindispatch.com, for this November 28th football history headlines by Chris Lawton. You can read all the details there. So let's talk about November 28th, 1982. At the CFL Grey Cup that year, it was played at CNE Stadium in Toronto. The Edmonton Eskimos' 5th straight championship as they defeated the Toronto Argonauts 32-16. Then in 1993 on this date, the CFL Grey Cup at McMahon Stadium in Calgary, Edmonton Eskimos defeated the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 33-23. Sean Fleming lands a record of equaling 6 field goals in the game. Then November 28, 1999, at BC Place in Vancouver, the Grey Cup of the CFL Championship was played as the Hamilton Tiger Cats defeated the Calgary Stampeders 32-21 and reversed the previous year's result. November 28, 2010, at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton, the Grey Cup for the CFL Championship was played as the Montreal Alouettes retained their championships with the 21-18 win over the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Alouettes quarterback Anthony Cavillo's third title. All right, we've got a few Hall of Famers that have birthdays for this November 28th, and we'll start off in the year 1868 on this date at Berkeley, Virginia. William Lewis, the center from Harvard University, was born. Lewis was a real pioneer as one of the first African-American college football players, and he was the first black player to be named as a football first-team All-American. The National Football Foundation inducted Walter Lewis into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2009. November 28, 1942, the great Ohio State halfback Paul Warfield celebrated his birth. In 1964, both the Buffalo Bills of the AFL and the Cleveland Browns of the NFL drafted Paul according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website bio on him. He chose the Browns and became a solid piece of Cleveland's offense as a wide receiver. After 6 fine seasons with the Browns, he was part of a big trade that sent him packing to the Dolphins for 5 years. He then returned to the Browns in 1976 and played one final year with the Memphis Grizzlies in the World Football League. Warfield played 13 seasons all in and made it to the Pro Bowl 8 times. His 427 receptions that went along with 8,565 yards and 85 touchdowns on mostly ball-control teams were a true testament to the talent he had. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Paul Warfield in the year 1983. November 27, 1948, in Lamar's, Iowa, defensive end from Central College, Vern Den Herter was born. After a great 1970 season, he was named to the All-American Team, College Division by the NAIA, the Football Coaches Association, and the Associated Press. The National Football Foundation inducted Vern Den Herter into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1996. There you have it. There's our football history headlines for November 28th. And on tomorrow's show, the November 29th football history headlines will feature Joe Montana setting a consecutive pass record, the Saints locking in their first winning season ever, and some fantastic Iron Bowl Classic games, all coming up on tomorrow's show, so don't miss it. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.